I think there's something in all of us that seeks to be on an adventure. There's something in all of us that craves the desire to be brave, to be courageous, and to be creative. Unfortunately, sometimes we use that to engage in the wrong things, the wrong adventures, and we wind up heading in the wrong direction. Walter Mitty wanted to live by the ABCs because he had a desire to be valued, a desire to be loved by other people. And he thought that if he could just be adventurous, brave, and creative, that people would be attracted to him, that he would be loved by other people. And realistically, when you see that Walter actually has a low self-worth, a low self-esteem. He wanted to add certain things to his profile to be attractive or to be valued by others. And that's what actually drove him to do the crazy things that he did. We all have a desire to be loved and valued. Where we seek to fulfill that is the key. It's the key to a joy-filled life. It's a key to having a life that is exciting, a life that has purpose. So here's a tough question for you. The things that you do, why do you do them? Has there ever been a time or a point in your life where you've actually found yourself doing things to try to be more valuable in the eyes of other people? Have you gone out of your way to do specific things for people with the whole idea of hoping that they would see you as a more valuable, worthy person? I know that's a tough question. And it's not something that's always at the top of our minds, right? It's not always the first thing that we think about. It takes a lot of reflection, self-examination, to see if that's why we're doing some of the things that we're doing. So most people look for happiness in the wrong places. We look for happiness and joy in our lives just by popularity or pleasure, power, possessions, our position. All of these things are only temporary. They work for a short while, but then all of a sudden, man, they're not as fulfilling as we thought they were. They don't bring us the joy and excitement, the happiness that they originally had. So what if we changed our perspective on things? And what if when we changed our perspective on things that we actually did fill our lives with a joy that lasted, a joy that was eternal? What if I told you that the secret to fulfilling your life, to filling your soul with meaning and purpose. What if I told you the secret this morning for filling your life with joy? Would you invest in it? Because that's what it takes. It takes an investment. Here's the secret. Your self-esteem, your self-worth grows not when you pursue receiving things like love and attention from other people, but your self-esteem and your self-worth will grow when you give your life away. It's the opposite of what we think. When we give our life away by serving God and serving others, that's when our sense of value, our sense of worth will grow, because we're engaged in the very purpose that God created us. In the Gospel of Matthew, there was an interesting conversation between James and John as they were expressing their desire to be great, their desire to have power. They talked to Jesus about being his right-hand man, so to speak. They said, "Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, when you establish your kingdom here on earth, can we have the places next to your throne on the right and on the left?" They thought that their self-worth, their self-esteem, their value Their greatness came from power, authority. Listen to Jesus' response in Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28. I'm going to read from the New Century Version. It'll be on the screen. It says this. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must serve the rest of you like a servant. Whoever wants to become first among you must serve the rest of you like a slave. In the same way, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve others and to give his life away as a ransom for many people." I know you want to be great. There's nothing wrong with the desire to be great, to be a great husband, to be a great wife, to be a great son or a great daughter, to be a great father or mother, to be a great neighbor, to be a great friend, to be a great coworker. It's everything that we want, right? We want to be great at those things. And there's nothing wrong with being and having a desire for being great in those ways. But how we pursue those things and the attitude in which we pursue them is the key. It's really, really important. But Jesus responded by saying, hey, greatness comes from serving, not from being served. Greatness comes from serving God by serving other people. Greatness comes from giving my life away. It's countercultural. Everything that we hear in the media, everything that we hear around us is, if you want to be great, you've got to do it yourself. You've got to go for it. You gotta grab the bull by the horns and you gotta do it. You gotta be that person. Jesus said, no, it's the opposite. You want to be great, humble yourself and serve other people. Jesus was an example of that when he washed the disciples' feet. Right? A task that was separated and supposed to be for a slave. The lowest of the low were supposed to do that. But Jesus shows by washing the disciples' feet, and ultimately shows why he's a servant by giving his life on the cross. He humbled himself and gave his life away so that we could have life. He served us so that we could have life. Today we're in the fifth week of our message series called Forward in Faith. We're focusing on those things that help us grow and move forward in our faith. At Northridge, we believe that moving forward in our faith happens best when we balance what we call the three C's: celebrate, connect, and contribute. Last week, we talked about how important it is for us to contribute by participating in missions. And today, we're going to talk about the importance of moving forward in our faith by contributing in ministry. So let's take a look at what it means to contribute in ministry. Here's the first thing. You are called by God to contribute in ministry. You're called by God. Now, the word called is an interesting word because a lot of us will think that to have a calling means that you have a calling to be a pastor or to be a missionary. But in this case, in this sense, it's meant that you are called to be a minister. Now, here's the thing. You're called by God to receive salvation included a call to serve. Did you know that? You probably didn't read the fine print, right? When you signed on the dotted line, when you said, I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior, a part of that meant that you were making a commitment to serve God in everything that you do. In Romans 7, Paul puts it this way. You are a part of the body of Christ, and now you belong to Him who was raised from death, in order that we might be useful in the service of God. Now listen, this is really, really important. We've been talking a lot in the last few weeks about all of these things that we have to do for God, right? So you're probably here thinking, this is week 5, and Pastor Doug is giving us one more thing that we have to do. We have to celebrate and worship. We got to be here every week. We got to connect into a small group. We got to contribute by being a part of a mission. And now he's going to tell us we need to contribute by being a part of a ministry. My goodness, I feel like I'm signing up to be a part of the staff here. Well, listen closely. Your faith, your salvation, is not based on what you do. You hear that? Because we believe that our salvation, right? We're saved by grace through faith. Not by works, not by anything that we can do. We're saved by what God has done for us. So the difference in Christianity, the difference between our faith and all of the other faiths out there, all the other faiths out there say, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. And in the Christian faith, we say, it's done. Jesus did it for us. What we couldn't do to achieve righteousness, Jesus did for us on the cross. So, then why do we talk about doing all of this stuff? Well, serving God is a response. Serving God is a response out of what He has done for us. So in other words, what the Bible is trying to teach us is if you've received this incredible gift from Jesus, you must be overwhelmed by the love that God has shown you. And because you're overwhelmed with that love, you reciprocate that love. And that love comes out, expresses itself by serving God. It means that you have committed to making Jesus not only your Savior, but your Lord. And having Jesus as your Lord means that He is the ultimate sovereign person, the CEO of your life. And that everything that you do and say and think ought to be for Him and for His glory. And so, all of those things are the way in which we serve God. So you are a minister, not a pastor. There's a little bit of a difference. So my job is a pastor. I'm called to shepherd or to lead God's people. But part of my job is to help you to find your place where you can minister, a place where you can serve God the best. So God redeemed you so that you could be His partner in mission and in ministry, and that happens when you serve. See, God has a ministry for you in the church, and He has a mission for you in the world. So your calling, you're called by God to contribute in ministry. You are a bivocational minister. You are a bivocational minister in Jesus. That means, what does that word bivocational mean? It's kind of like the word bifocal, right? So you can see things with clarity, both far and both near, because you've got bifocals on. And so your calling is to have those two things in focus wherever you go. You're called to serve God by serving others. So that's the first one. You're called by God to contribute by serving in the ministry. Here's the second one. You were created by God to contribute in ministry. Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10 from the NIV, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. These good deeds are your service. God says that you are His workmanship. That means that you are a handcrafted work of art. You are a custom-designed, one-of-a-kind, original masterpiece created by God to do good things for Him. You're unique. That means all of us are wired differently with a purpose. That God made you different than He made me, and He made me different than He made you because that was His design. He had a purpose for us. We call that, here at Northridge, we call it our shape. And Pastor Rick Warren has kind of made an acrostic with the word shape, which kind of helps us to see our unique, the way we were uniquely created by God. The S stands for spiritual gifts. The H is heart or passion. The A is ability. The P is personality. And E is experiences. So the Bible says that when you make your faith commitment, when you express your faith in Jesus Christ, He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives within you and gives you a special gift called a spiritual gift to use in ministry and in mission. And we all have something that we're uniquely passionate about. We all have different skills and abilities. We have different personalities And we've all had different experiences in our lives that are unique and molded us into the people that we are. All of these things are what God uses to use you to minister to other people. He's uniquely wired you to do those things. There's things that you can do that I can't do. And there's a lot of things that I can't do that you can do. Right? So, everybody has a gift. So we need to identify our shape. So at Northridge, we created this little document called ID, Identifying Your Shape. And it helps you to find out what your spiritual gift is, where you're passionate, what your abilities are, a little bit of your personality style, and helps you reflect on your experiences. And we have made that available to you. It's on our website. If you can't find it, email me, and I'll get you a copy of it. If you can work through this, it's not meant to be a test or anything like that, but if you can work through it, and then contact me or Joel or somebody around here, we'd be happy to sit down with you and kind of work through some of that. And the reason that it's important is because you are uniquely designed by God to do a specific ministry. And when you find out where what your shape is, you can plug yourself into a ministry that will in turn bless you. It'll help us to plug you into the right place where you're using your gifts, where it can fill you with joy and fill you with purpose in your life. If you've ever served in a church where you're in a place where you're not gifted, it can be very frustrating and painful. And we don't want that. So the best way to figure out how God has wired you is to kind of wrestle with it and work through it. And then we'll figure out a place where we can plug you into ministry. So you were created and shaped with the purpose of serving and to contribute in ministry. Here's the next one. Contributing in ministry requires all of us to cooperate. So part of the reason that God gives us these gifts is so that we can all work together to build His kingdom. Right? That's our mission. God has given us His mission. We are called to continue His mission. And He has gifted each one of us so that when we come together, we can actually work as a team to help accomplish what God has called us to do. Paul says it this way in Romans 12, verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, the church. So you have a special role to play within the church. The church needs you. We need you to help achieve the mission that God has called us to be on. Where is that? And how can we help you find that out? Because again, it's important for you to connect in a place where you're using your gifts so that we can work together as a team to build God's kingdom here. Paul says again in Ephesians 4:16, as each part does its own special work, it helps other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So not only are you called to use your gifts in ministry to help build the body of Christ, the church, but it actually, when you do it in the right way, it helps you move forward in your faith. It helps you to grow in your faith. If every person here did their part, it would help keep our church healthy. So it's important that you find out where or how God has wired you so that we can plug you into a place where you can serve. Just to give you an idea, that it takes over 70 volunteers to do worship here every Sunday. 70 people every week in order to do this. Whether it's people that set up in here or people who are teaching Ridge Kids or helping with Ridge Kids or helping in the nursery, all of those things are important in order for us to do what we're called to do and God's mission of helping reach people and helping them grow in their faith. So think about this. 70 people a week, that means that in order to not duplicate who is serving every week, we need new people every week. Otherwise, the same people are volunteering every week. So in a sense, if we have 280 people volunteer, then you would only have to volunteer once every month. 280 people. But that's not a stretch, because we have like 450 people, I think, that are regular members and attenders here at Northridge. So think about it. If you just do one thing, It'll help other people to not have to do two or three other things. And it'll help avoid burnout. And it will help you to grow in your faith. And it'll help us as a church to be healthy and to reach and to continue our mission that God has called us on. Now, I want to say a couple things. First, that I get the chance to say this to volunteers often, but I want everybody to know that there's no menial task around here. That when you're setting up chairs, you are participating in influencing the lives of people. So no matter what you do to serve here, you're participating in changing lives, which is what God has called us to do and to be. So there is no insignificant gifts. There's no insignificant place for you to plug in to help the church. Your gift is important, and your shape is important. And I want to challenge you to contribute in ministry. Now, here's the last one. Contributing in ministry requires all of us to concentrate. To concentrate or to focus. This is critically important because you have to serve for the right reason. Paul says to the Colossians, "Work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people." You see, it's all about serving God. Whoever and whomever you serve or wherever you serve, you should do it as if you're serving the Lord. It's that attitude of whatever you're doing it for God. Whether you're setting up chairs or whether you're teaching in Ridge Kids or no matter what you're doing it to serve the Lord. In Romans 12, verse 11, Paul says it this way, "Serve the Lord enthusiastically." So I need to admit to you that sometimes I don't serve the Lord enthusiastically. You ever find yourself doing that? You know, getting bogged down into, you know, got a lot going on in life, and so you come here to serve, and it's like you're not enthusiastic. I've had that. We all have that. So we need to concentrate. We need to focus. Work hard, work cheerfully, and work enthusiastically for the Lord. We should view our serving as an opportunity, not an obligation. Psalm 100 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And again, why? Out of love. So if you find yourself getting to the place where you're serving and your attitude is starting to go south and you find yourself grumbling or complaining or not enjoying what you're doing, refocus. Concentrate. Remind yourself of who you're serving and why you're serving. You're doing it for the Lord and to serve with gladness. Now, some of you are here today and you lack a sense of joy in your life because you're not serving the Lord anywhere. And there's some of you who are here today who are on the opposite of that extreme. You're doing too much. And either way, if you're not doing it with the right focus and the right concentration, if you're not focused on doing it for Jesus and it doesn't bring you joy, then you need to change that. If you're not doing enough, you need to do one thing. Find one place where you can serve. If you're doing too much, you're not doing God a favor. You're burning yourself out. That's not healthy. It's not good for you physically, and it's not good for you spiritually. So find a place where you can replace yourself. Find somebody to replace one of the things that you do so that you can be healthy and so the church can be healthy. Because when you're running on low fumes and you're doing things for the wrong reason, you're not having much of an impact. Not much of an impact on other people and on your own heart, your own soul. So, remember why we are serving and who we are serving. So, here's the thing. You want to have a life that is exciting, adventurous, right? Courageous. You want a life of greatness, happiness, and joy. But it's not attained by the things that you receive, but by giving your life away. By serving God and serving others. God has wired us that way. That when you give your life away, you are becoming more like Jesus. And in that process, you grow and move forward in your faith. Paul said it this way to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 17. Your faith makes you offer your lives as a sacrifice in serving God. If I have to offer my own blood with your sacrifice, I will be happy and full of joy with all of you. And he goes on to say, and I want you too to have that same kind of joy in your life. That's my prayer for you. I want your life to be filled with joy. And the best way to do it is to figure out how God has shaped you so that you can contribute in ministry. Joy will flood your soul when you begin to give it away. So maybe it's time for us, for some of us, to do a few noteworthy and mentionable things for God. He has called us and created us to be on this incredibly great adventure of building His kingdom. But it requires us to be bold, to be brave, and to be courageous for Him. I want you to pray about that. For those of you who maybe aren't doing anything, serving in a ministry, in a church, pray about where you can serve. For those of you who are burned out and really starting to not have the right attitude in serving, start praying about where, what you need to give away and who maybe can fill in for you in that place. I want Northridge to be a great church. Not because I'm here, but because we serve a Lord who is worthy. One who has done incredibly great things for us, individually and as a church. He deserves everything that we can do to honor Him and to serve Him. And we do that by serving Him, by serving others. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for being such a great example of what it means to serve, leaving a place like heaven and coming here and subjecting yourself to the pain and the suffering of living among us and giving Your life as a sacrifice so that we could have life. We thank You, Lord, for the way that You love us, the grace and the forgiveness that You give us. And we pray that You would help us to see the gifts that You've given to us and have a desire to honor You by serving You, by serving other people as well. Lord, I just pray that You would work in the hearts and the minds of all of us here today. May we sense Your presence and Your power in a way that transforms our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a couple of announcements before we take our offering this morning. I want to encourage you, too, if you're the last couple of weeks we've been talking about getting connected into a group. And if you're interested in connecting into a group, we have some forms that you can fill out at the information table. Or there's a form that you can find it on our website as well. If you can't find that, let me know and we'll get you connected there as well. Also, want to inform you, last week we talked about a mission trip and we were looking at doing a week-long trip in March. That has been changed due to some circumstances. We changed the date of the mission trip and hopefully this will enable more people to sign up and go. We changed it to a two-day trip on Friday, May 2 and Saturday, May 3. It's in Washington, Illinois, to help with tornado recovery. Don't know if we're going to be doing some building or cleanup or anything like that, but if you're interested, stop at the information table and sign up for that. It's only 2.5 hours away, so if you can't make it on Friday and you want to just come on Saturday, that's an option as well. So hopefully we'll get a good crew down there to help as much as possible. Also want to let you know again that we're excited to announce another opportunity to celebrate and worship here at Northridge. We're starting a Saturday night worship service. It's our hope and our prayer that this opportunity will allow you another chance to, in the midst of a busy, crazy schedule, to find time to worship on a regular basis and to invite your friends, your family, your neighbors, anybody who's disconnected from the church. It'll give you a great chance to invite them to a service as well. The worship time will be 5:15. It'll be in the multi-purpose room. It'll be identical to Sunday morning. There will be Cuddle Kids Nursery for infants and toddlers under 3. But at this time, there will be no Ridge Kids Children's Ministry. That'll just be on Sunday morning. And we are going to do preview services that will start one on March 22 and then April 5 and April 12. And then we'll publicly promote and start our Saturday night worship service on Easter weekend, the 19th and the 20th. So mark your calendars and invite your family and friends to come and worship and to connect in community with Jesus and each other. This time we have the opportunity to continue to worship by giving our gifts and our offerings.